This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Excuse me. There's a little sip of water here, you know? How old do you think the water is in this cup that I'm sipping from? 100 years? 1,000 years? Million years? You're going to be very surprised. As you know, water is essential to life as we know it, and that's why so many of our space probes look for that not-so-elusive molecule H2O. I mean, how many times has water been discovered on Mars by now? If you want to sum up the theory behind our exploration of space in three words, it's follow the water. And this week, a team of astronomers announced the discovery of water vapor in the atmosphere of an exoplanet over 120 light years from Earth. So if it's water everywhere, where did it all come from in the first place? And how and when was it made? Ted Bergen is a professor of astronomy at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. He's the author of research published in the journal Science this week on the surprising origins of water. Welcome to Science Friday.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Is it really a mystery where all the water came from? Have we not figured that out already?
No, it's an amazing thing. I mean, if you look back, you know, 4.6 billion years ago, there's an incredible story to be told. That is, at its birth, the Earth was, you know, tiny little pieces, and they got together and had this really tremendously huge party. But those particles out of which the Earth was made of, they're tiny grains of silicate. You think, you know, sand, but smaller than the width of a human hair. Astronomers are very imaginative souls, so we call that dust. Now, these dust particles, if you park it at 1 AU, one astronomical unit, that's one Earth-Sun distance, they would absorb energy from the sun. And they would actually be too hot for the particle themselves to have any water condensed on it as ice. So when the Earth was born, it was dry. Okay, so that's an interesting problem itself. So where did the water come from, right? So we have to look around the solar system, and we know that there are sources in the solar system from many decades of study that you just referred to. So there's wet rocks. We call them asteroids, or icy rocks. We call them comets, right? So those are the potential sources. And when the Earth was born, these things came from further away where it was cold enough for water to condense, and they were provided to the Earth by impacts, and so that gave us our water. Okay. Now let's think a little bit more broadly. Where did that water come from? The universe isn't made of water. It's made of atoms. I mean, at some place, at some time, those atoms came together via chemistry, and it's chemistry that we actually can study here in labs on the Earth. So what we tried to look at is, well, where did that water in the solar system come from, and is it common or is it peculiar? If it's common, then the life-fostering water would be available to all planets at birth, and if it's peculiar, then you want to know what specific conditions are needed to make it and how common are those.
Mm-hmm. And so the water I'm drinking in my cup came from the primordial Earth formation. It's 4 or 5 billion years old in my cup.
It's even older than that. So what we can do is we can look at and try to understand the conditions out of which water was formed, all right? And the way we can do that is it's a very interesting thing using isotopic fingerprinting. That is, there's two flavors of hydrogen. There's a hydrogen with a proton and a hydrogen with a proton and neutron. We call that deuterium. And from our understanding of cosmology, we know that the birth of the universe, the ratio, the amount of deuterium and hydrogen that was created was sort of fixed. Mm-hmm. So for every one deuterium atom, you have about 100,000 hydrogen atoms. And when you make water, it can incorporate hydrogen and deuterium roughly at this ratio. But, you know, chemistry actually tells us that if you're at very specific conditions, you can get an excess of this deuterium. And so that's what we call an isotopic fingerprint. And if we look on the Earth has this excess of deuterium, and actually comets do, and asteroids do. So, all right. So now we need to understand something about how the chemistry works. And they tell us that the isotopic fingerprint itself, it happens at very, very cold conditions. So these are temperatures that are 10 to 20 degrees above absolute zero. So that's minus 441 degrees Fahrenheit. So that's a little cold, right? It's not the beach,
a little chilly,
and it's not even the Arctic. That's right. So because the Earth has this excess of deuterium, we actually know one thing already, that wherever the source was, it was really, really cold. Okay, so now we have to look at star and planet formation and ask, where is it cold? All right? So now, stars and planets, they're born out of gas and dust. Now, the Earth is mostly made of the solids, the dust, and maybe some ices, right? Mm-hmm. The wet rocks, icy rocks. And the gas giants are made out of the gas. Now, actually, it turns out that in the beginning, the gas holds all the stuff that life is made of, the carbon, the hydrogen, the oxygen, nitrogen. So somehow you have to make those molecules and get them in the rocks. So how does that happen? So you have this gas and dust in space in between the stars, and something causes that collection of gas and dust to collapse, and you form a star and also a disk. And so the star is gradually growing, and it becomes a star when it ignites fusion in its core. And the disk of material, it has, you know, a little bit less material, substantially less material than the sun. And that's where the planets are going to be born.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, during the collapse, but before the sun is born, the atoms collide with each other and with molecules and with the dust, and they form molecules in the gas and also icy coatings on the dust grains. And we know this from astronomical observations. So molecules actually emit light, and we can observe them with our radio telescopes. So what happens, they collide with each other. They get a little bit of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like everything in the universe, they want to be in the ground state. You know, they want to sit on the couch, have some popcorn, watch some TV. So they relax down on the ground state, and they emit light. And we observe that with our telescope. And that light tells us, hey, you know, hi, I'm water. I'm here. It tells us how much water is there. And it also tells us the temperature. And so what we know from these observations is that before the star is born, as this gas cloud is condensing, it's actually very, very cold. And the molecules are forming. It's about 10 degrees above absolute zero. And water is forming in that stage. And it has the right isotopic fingerprint. Okay, so that's a potential area where the water could have come from before the star is born, about 1 million years before the star is born. Now, there's another possibility, however. That is, there's the disk of material out of which planets are made of. If you go to the outer parts of that disk, it actually is also very cold, too. So the water could have been born at that stage. And in fact, when the star is born, it's a very, very violent process. You know, lots of energy are released, and maybe anything that happened in the early stages was completely erased.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're saying that the water is older than the sun in our solar system.
That's right. So the way you track that down is we looked at the other thing. We have the temperature, right? And there's another thing that the chemistry needs to work, that is ionization. And we looked at a detailed model of the ionization of the disk. And we found that actually the disk is incapable of powering the chemistry to create the water. So that tells you that the two potential sources you have to make the water, there's the disk and there's before the star is born, the disk can't do it. Hmm. So the water came with the isotopic fingerprint, and it traces all the way back to about 1 million years before the birth of the sun. So water is actually older than our solar system.
And so was it locked up in the rocks on Earth that created our oceans and then spewing out? Because we always hear about the comets and things bringing the water, but you're saying that there's water locked up in the soil or the dirt or the rocks here and that they were released to create the oceans.
That's right. So when planets are born, it's actually a very chaotic process. So rocks from, you know, out the distance of Mars, some of that material actually made it all the way to the Earth and into the Earth. So you had, you know, some rocks that didn't have much water hitting the Earth and forming and coalescing with the Earth. And then some rocks came from further away and they carried water.
Mm-hmm.
And so as the Earth was being born, these rocks from greater distances sort of supplied the water. And then it was part of the rocks. And then it just outgassed via volcanoes. And that created the oceans and the atmosphere and this wonderful planet that we have today.
This week, we saw news of water vapor in the atmosphere of an exoplanet. Because are we watching the water forming process happening somewhere else?
So what that tells you, I mean, as an astronomer, I thought that result was just awesome.
Hmm.
You know, the detection method we use to do that, it's very, very challenging. And the fact is you can pull that out, it's at the limits of our capability. It's really telling us something. Now, it's important to state that water detection on another planet was in a Neptune, not an Earth. But it does tell you that water is there. And so that's interesting. And our result actually kind of relates to that in a way, because if this alternative idea for where water could have come from the disk, for example, well, not all stars are the same. Some stars are more massive than our sun. They emit more radiation, more heat. Some stars are less massive than our sun. They emit less radiation. So if the disk made the water with the planets at the same time, there would then be a potential diversity of outcomes. But because we know from our solar system now that the water goes back to the earlier stage, that earlier stage is actually common throughout the galaxy. All stars are born in very, very cold gas with that isotopic signature. So that tells us that planets, you know, are the water is there, it's available right at the start everywhere.
Wow. So how much, I only got about 30 seconds left. How much of the water then came from, we always hear about, being brought in from comets, which are dirty snowballs. How much of the water on our planet? Very little, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, the individuals who study the dynamics and the interactions of the rocks as they're being born with mostly Jupiter and Saturn, they would tell you that it's easier to bring material from sort of the asteroid belt regions than the cometary regions. So that's, if you want to think of likelihood, that's the most likely place to look back.
So there's really no fresh glass of water anywhere. It's
no,
billions of years old.
Yeah, just look at that. It's amazing, isn't it?
It is. You don't need to go to the museum to see an exhibit. You got it right there in your sink.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, Dr. Bergen, thank you very much for taking time to be with us today. Good luck to you.
It's a tremendous pleasure. Thank you.
You're welcome. Ted Bergen is a professor of astronomy at the University of Michigan at Ann Arbor.